New figures show the costs associated with sending 35 asylum seekers back to Nigeria earlier this month was closer to €500,000 rather than the €325,000 stated by government. That Department of Justice figure related to the operational cost of flights to and from Nigeria. And today this programme has learned 28 of those deportees spent an average of 27 days in prison each, and the cost associated with that is over €200,000. This comes as Irish prisons are operating at 117%, and Gabriel Keaveney, Deputy General Secretary of the Prison Officers Association, says having additional people sent to Irish prisons add to the existing overcrowding crisis.
Like, it is clear to anybody who has a knowledge of the system at present that, you know, any additional person's been put into custody, you know, it can only impact negatively on the current chronic overcrowding crisis that we have. You know, our prisons are packed to the rafters. We have 400 people sleeping on floors. We have huge numbers of bunk beds across the entire estate. And I mean, the system is a breaking point as far as we're concerned. So any additionality, in other words, you know, will only add to the current crisis.
Having more people coming into the system, it's just a challenge, is that it?
It's worse than that, really, because like we're saying that we're about certainly at least 1,000 prisoners over what we can safely manage at present. But all our prisons, you know, have huge problems with overcrowding. For instance, Cork is the newest prison in the system, you know, and practically every single cell is doubled up in Cork, and there's still huge numbers sleeping on mattresses on floors. You know, both female prisons are in a chronic state and have huge numbers out on temporary release. You know, the Dorcas in Mountjoy was designed for 85 prisoners, and there's nearly 200 prisoners there. Like, the system is a breaking point, and we've been talking about this endlessly now to anyone who wants to listen to us.
The Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust, Saoirse Brady, is with us now in studio. Saoirse, on what Gabriel Keaveney was saying there, chronic overcrowding in prisons. Prison service figures show yesterday there's overcapacity operating at 117%. 5,415 prisoners were in custody. 422 were on mattresses on floors. 585 were on temporary release. What's the impact of sending deportees into the prison system?
Well, it puts even more additional pressure on the system, as Gabriel outlined there. But just for your listeners, the reality is that you have a situation where schools and prisons are closing. You have, family visits being cancelled on occasion. You have a huge amount of pressure on the prison staff themselves. And they are dealing with a myriad of issues that where social services have failed. So placing deportees into this situation, they're being put into prison for administrative reasons rather than having ever been convicted of any crime. So the Committee on the Prevention of Torture, which is a European Human Rights Committee, has handed down standards on this. And they talk about how it needs to be exceptional, proportionate and necessary. So necessary for that particular person to be detained. But they also said detention should always be used as a last resort, should be exceptional, should be used for the minimum time possible, and people shouldn't be separated from their families. But that is what has happened here.
What's your opinion on this? Is it an appropriate place to hold these people?
No, and my opinion is it's not an appropriate place to hold these people, and the Committee on the Prevention of Torture's opinion is that it's not an appropriate place to hold these people, and has been critical of the state in the past. In 2007, 2019, made recommendations around this because they saw bullying and abuse happen in Clover Hill. The Chief Inspector of Prisons has talked about Clover Hill being degrading conditions in some instances, and that was back in 2023 before we hit these record numbers.
Well, justice isn't standing still on this. It's increasing capacity in Irish prisons, 1,000 new prison places by 2030.
Yes, but that's a long way away, and it's cold comfort to the 400 plus people sleeping on a floor tonight beside a toilet that other people have to use beside them, eating their dinner off the floor, as has been documented by the Chief Inspector of Prisons in Clover Hill in particular. So,
well,
it's
if it's not an
away.
Appropriate place to hold detainees before they're sent back from Ireland, what's the alternative?
you know, we should be exploring every possible alternative. So people do have to sign on with immigration officers when they are subject to a deportation order. So my understanding from the media reports around this was that people were doing that. They were very visible in their communities as well. So whether or not, I don't know if an assessment was made for every particular individual about whether or not they posed a flight risk, but certainly they should not be detained in a prison. It is not an appropriate setting and should never be used for administrative reasons.
Separately, as we heard on Morning Ireland earlier today, two teenagers from Dublin who were accused of being armed with a machine gun during a burglary last week were freed on bail at the weekend because the state's youth detention centre at Oberstown in Dublin was full. What's your reaction to this?
So I obviously can't comment on the individual case, but we do know that judges have been calling this issue out for quite a long time now around the lack of availability of bed spaces in Oberstown for those who may pose a risk to public safety. But when you look at the figures from Oberstown, for example, for May 2025, one in three on any average day in May in Oberstown, one in three young people were on remand, were held on remand, who hadn't yet been convicted of any offence and may never be. So we need to look at those figures because the Children's Act is very clear, the legislation is very clear that detention should always be a last resort for children. So we need to have a bit of an audit there, I think, because what we do know is where the bail supervision scheme is available in Dublin, Limerick and Cork, judges are availing of it and using it to deal with the underlying root causes of criminality by providing an intervention. And it is very effective, not for everyone, but for some, including some who are held for more serious offences. So we need to look at that. But where it isn't available is in rural locations. So you are seeing young people from rural locations, we're hearing this on the ground, coming into Oberstown for less serious offences, which then basically blocks those beds. Now, again, on Morning Ireland, I happened to catch it this morning, and the Department of Children, who is responsible for Oberstown, did talk about expanding more beds in Oberstown. But it isn't just about beds, a bit like prison, the adult prisons. It's also about staffing and the resources that have to go around it. And Oberstown is hugely costly. You know, there are estimates of anywhere between 300,000 and 700,000 a day or a year per child to hold somebody in Oberstown because of the range of interventions that are there. So we need to look at something like the bail supervision scheme or more secure beds. There are judges, I was at an event this morning where Keelan Gallagher, the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, talked about how a judge in another recent case talked about and lamented the lack of secure care beds. And when you think about one in three children in Oberstown have care experience, you're talking about one in four young people come from an Irish traveller background. So we need to look at some of the structural issues around Oberstown, who's ending up there, and deal with those on the ground.
Saoirse Brady from the Penal Reform Trust, thank you.